1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Beryl has come ashore just northeast of Tulum, Mexico, in the Yucatan Peninsula. The storm, a Category 2, is moving over land now and will eventually be in the Gulf of Mexico. Folks in and around Corpus Christi, Texas, are getting ready. The White House says President Biden will spend a lot of July campaigning. Today he will be in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. He will also sit down for an interview about his future with ABC's George Stephanopoulos today. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer becoming Britain's first Prime Minister from the Labour Party in more than 14 years, saying outside 10 Downing Street.
Changing a country is not like flicking a switch. The world is now a more volatile place. This will take a while. But have no doubt that the work of change begins immediately.
Labor Department out with June unemployment numbers. They've been expecting 190,000 jobs created. It was 206,000. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden campaigns in Wisconsin today. White House correspondent Selena Wang is traveling with the president.
And I had a really interesting conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan. He's very, very critical of the campaign. He says they've already been making mistakes by not putting the president out there immediately after that disastrous debate, immediately doing unscripted moments and interviews. He says putting the president in front of a teleprompter in these official events is not the way to allay those doubts and concerns.
Selena Wang reporting. A judge's ruling striking down parts of Wisconsin's Act 10 public union law is likely headed to the state Supreme Court. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost says putting UW police and state troopers in different categories violates the Constitution's guarantee of equal protection. Republicans say the judge is legislating from the bench. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A line of showers and storms passing through Wisconsin last night put a damper on 4th of July festivities. Several fireworks shows were postponed due to the rain. That includes the Riverfest Fireworks Extravaganza, which will now take place tonight. The rain postponed shows from Chippewa Falls to Platteville across western Wisconsin, although a few shows did manage to start once rain had moved through south of La Crosse County. In addition to fireworks tonight, Riverfest has other activities going on through the weekend. A proposed ordinance to limit camping on city property in La Crosse will be taken up next week by the City Council. After a committee voted against recommending it, the full City Council will take up the measure on Thursday that would place a 12-hour limit on camping on city-owned property. Camping is already banned in several public spaces. Advocates include Mayor Mitch Reynolds, who says the ordinance will save the city money on clearing out encampments. Opponents say it doesn't adequately help the city's homeless population. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers split the series in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Colorado Rockies last night 4-3. Milwaukee fell behind early. They also missed some scoring opportunities, leaving base runners in scoring position. The Brewers had snapped a 6-game losing streak playing at Coors Field earlier this week, but ended up splitting the 4-game series with the last place Rockies 2 games apiece. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, big picture, you can say, good, we won a couple games here. We've had trouble here. But the truth is, I'm disappointed. You know, we could have won all 4 games. And that would have put us in a way better position than going forward. I love the way they compete every game, but there was a ton of opportunities tonight.
NFL Quadzilla in the Quad Cities. Packers running back A.J. Dillon competing this week in the John Deere Pro-Am Golf Classic. Dillon on the young receivers on the Packers roster.
Yeah, I mean, these young guys, the young tight ends, the young receivers, you know, the whole story all the time is, oh, the youth. Well, the youth is stepping up and they're looking great, so I'm happy for them.
Training camp starts in about 2 weeks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. We will start to clear a little bit by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 73. Tonight, 57. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible. And a high tomorrow near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's happening? Brother, what's up?
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the weekend. How are you, Earl?
I guess so. How was the fourth, man?
It was good. We worked yesterday morning, so it didn't feel like as much of a holiday, but... And it was cloudy all day, but at least it was warm.
Yeah. So you enjoyed it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the great thing about today is like, you know, working one day and then we've got a weekend, right?
Yep.
Even though we worked yesterday, we didn't
even
get it.
Though.
All right. So it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Okay. So it's Friday. And that means none other than my co-host, Sandy Williams, is in the studio. Hey, Sandy, how you doing? How was the fourth?
Well, it was pretty good. I spent the fourth listening to you, watching you. It was the Earl Ingram weekend kind of thing. Yeah, I got to say, I was really proud of and pleased to see how you handled the president, the interviews you've had. You were very good and straightforward.
Well, you know, Sandy, I said this before even had the interviews, the last time you were on the show, what we've been doing over the last several years, you and I, as we'll do today, has prepared me to have the conversations that I was able to have the other day. Having you in the studio and having the discussions that we've had and are going to have today have iron sharpens iron. And so I've learned so much from you that it certainly puts me in a position that I feel like I'm capable of having the discussions, because the quality of the discussions you and I have are always on a high level.
Well,
it's true.
I attribute that to you, Earl. But
before we get started, I'll be back on CNN tomorrow morning. On First of All with Victor Blackwell. His show runs from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, I'll be doing it. I did an interview last night on CNN, another show. I forgot what it was. But, again, you can catch me tomorrow morning, CNN. First of All with Victor Blackwell. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, this is an important time. And, you know, you're in the center of it. And I think the whole country's in it, you know. And my view was, as thinking about this as I drove out here this morning, is that really the country, the Democratic Party, has a decision to make, and how they approach that decision, it seems to me, ought to be with objective, business-like decision making. And so how do you do that? Well, when you're in business, you sit down, the first thing you figure out is what's the objective? What is it we're deciding and what is the importance of it? And, you know, the objective here, obviously, is more than just defeating Donald Trump. But as stated by Joe Biden, as stated by most of the Democrats today, there's a belief that this election is fundamentally more important than any in the past because of the avowed intentions expressed by Trump, the MAGA people, Project 2025. There's this expressed intent to change the architecture of our democracy, okay? So it seems like this is a very important election, and it's important then as an objective to defeat Donald Trump, to avoid having a Republican House of Representatives and Senate controlled, and to support down-ballot statehouse elections because it's the statehouses where all of the cultural fights are being had right now about Roe, about the replacement rules and regulations associated with the women's right to choose. So, you know, we've got this important objective. And then it seems to me that what's important then is that we figure out which candidate is most likely to facilitate achieving that objective. And we've got to make that decision, just like any business decision, without ego, you know, without pride, without personal loyalties coming into play, making the decision, because what you're worried about is the outcome. And the outcome is going to be fact dependent. It's not going to be related to those things. And then we had the debate, which has tripped all this. And the debate, in my mind, was a perceived fact. It was perceived by millions of people, just the way January 6th was a perceived fact. And millions of people saw January 6th, reached their own conclusions, and their perceptions of it couldn't be changed by discussion, by lawsuits, they know what they saw, and they know what they think they saw. And the same is true with the debate. And, you know, from my standpoint, you know, the debate obviously was troublesome because I saw a candidate that seemed to me, from my lay perspective, to seem to have something like Parkinson's onset or some process of a health issue that was disabling to him. And no spin, no ads, nothing's going to change my perception, and I don't think it's going to change the perception of millions of others. So now the question is, can that candidate be the right candidate to achieve the outcomes we're looking for? And that's what we're in the throes of right now, is trying to make sure that, at least from the side of the people who want to make sure those objectives are achieved, we better take a moment in time to figure out what is the right step to take. Because, you know, we could have, the analogy I would use is, you've got your ace pitcher on the mound, and it's clear that he can't throw his fastball today, and he can't throw the curve, and he doesn't have his stuff. Do you leave him on the mound and to see whether he's going to get shellacked by the opposition, or do you put in someone else? And so that's kind of where we might be at.
So, Sandy, for people who don't know, you're an octogenarian.
Not quite.
Well, yeah, not quite.
Yeah.
But you are close to...
Of
the president.
Yeah, I'm about a year and a half younger than the president.
So people can't say that you are saying this, and it's based on your perception of age and those kind of things. Does that have anything to do with what you're saying?
No. I mean, the point is, millions of people have their own perceived facts. Okay, and it's those perceived facts that are the facts we have to deal with, and it's how those people will relate to those perceived facts. And I think when you have an election of the enormous import that we have today, we should all sit back and realize that there are hardcore Democrats who are going to vote Democrat for whichever candidate runs as a Democrat. And there are hardcore Republican, MAGA Republicans, who are going to vote for Donald Trump regardless of what is revealed about Donald Trump. But there are 15% or 20% of the people in the United States who reside in neither camp, who are the important people, whose minds are flexible with respect to who they might vote for. That's the battleground for this election. It's not the people who are dedicated Democrats. It's not the people who are dedicated MAGA Republicans. It's those other people. And that's who this candidate needs to be selected, is who is the, which candidate can best influence those people to vote so in a manner that, that does not achieve the bad outcome that we're trying to avoid.
Let me, clearly, based on people who've called this radio station over the last several days, and you know, we get callers from both sides. We get callers from both sides. And so when people say, well, you should not discuss it, why are you continuing to discuss this? Sandy, I said it before, I'll say it again. Out of all the things going on in the world, in America, this is the number one topic that's being covered everywhere. Because people know the impact of this. You just talked about, you know, some of the things that our nation is faced with. And so whether you're on whatever side you come down on, you talked about the cultural wars, you talked about the outcome of this election can determine, you know, House seats, you know, Senate seats, local.
Absolutely. Local elections. State houses have become fundamentally more important, and the Supreme Court is trying to make them more and more important with respect to the outcome of the so-called cultural wars that are ongoing. And so state houses are very important, too. So we ought to understand that when someone runs for president, it's much more than the president that's being selected. It's all of the shirt-tail relatives to the presidential election that will be affected by it that need to be considered. And, you know, I think, you know, I won't want to ignore the notion that we should spend time demonstrating why it is that Donald Trump shouldn't get elected, because I think there's daily further and additional proof of that. And we can talk about that during the show as well. But my point is, if this is a point in time where there is a decision to be made, then we ought to make that decision in as businesslike and objective a manner as possible to make sure that it's the best possible decision to pursue the outcome that we want.
So Brendan says, Sandy, now outline the rules you have to deal with when you replace your ace. You'll also have to take your star slugger and half of the team along with them. In turn, the $500 million in donations.
Well, actually, there's been a lot of discussion about the donations, and there's a question about what happens to the money. And if Kamala Harris were to become the
she automatically inherits the money.
She gets the money. If she isn't the nominee, she can designate where the money goes, it's believed. Okay? So, you know, I think where there's a will, there's a way. Okay? And the question to me is, what's the outcome that's most likely to achieve, or what's the path that's most likely to achieve the outcome that people find important? And we shouldn't spend all of our time figuring out why we can't make that decision. We ought to figure out what decision we ought to make.
You know, when we come back on the other side, 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy, I want to ask you that when, after the conversation with Biden and George Stephanopoulos on tonight, there's going to be some real pressure applied based on how President Biden reacts. We'll see exactly what happens after tonight. George Stephanopoulos is a national guy who certainly has been in a lot of different harrowing situations. He's not going to back up. He's going to ask the tough questions. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, once again, you pick the music.
Well, this is obvious, obviously. We're talking about the issue of age, and so most of my music relates to what rockers in the past have talked about when they've talked about old, getting old.
All right. We have a special guest on the line, State Senator LaTanya Johnson. Hey, good morning to you, Senator Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I got to get you back on. It's I recall when you first, you know, ran for office many years ago, and you and I forged a great relationship on the air. And as you've moved throughout your career, supported you all the way. So it's always great to hear your perspective on things.
Thank you. And thank you for all of the support over the years, and especially for everything that you do for our community. I know anytime there are hard hit topics or issues or just community concern, you're always there. And that's extremely important. We've come to know that you are somebody that we can trust. And that becomes exceptionally, exceptionally important as our community continues to face harder and harder issues.
Thank you. I'm on it. So you want to talk a little bit about where we are, the president, and all of those things.
Yes. You know, I think it's important that the community understands just what the Biden administration has done for this city, and particularly BIPOC communities, and the struggles that we still continue to face that would have been so much worse if there was another administration at the helm. I think we all watched the debate and wished that there was more zing or more enthusiasm coming from President Biden, but knowing that specifically the topics and the information that he provided, there was an overwhelming clear choice between him and former President Donald Trump.
You know, Senator Johnson, there clearly is no separation in my mind, a great separation in my mind between President Joe Biden and Donald Trump in our community. We know what the outcome is. We know who Donald Trump is. You know, he was the president for 4 years. So it's not like we don't know what to expect from him. We're certainly not going to get what we've gotten in our community as we struggle and continue to face what seems sometimes be insurmountable odds in this nation. But, you know, people can say whatever they will, and I've said this before, but the policies that President Biden has been working hard to implement have made some impact in our community. Certainly we need a lot more, but he at least has made some overtures and done some things to alleviate some of the pain that our community faces on a daily basis.
Yes, you know, when I'm out on doors and I'm talking to constituents, you do run across those people who sometimes say, well, why should I vote? You know, my life is going to be the same regardless of who's governor or who's, you know, president. There's no reason for me to go out and vote, or what has President Biden done for me? And I always tell them to just start here, right here at home. During COVID, when, you know, all states faced uncertainty, Milwaukee faced significant financial uncertainty. We were going to reach bankruptcy January 2025. And the only reason that we were able to push bankruptcy off for that long was because of the Biden administration and the money through the American Rescue Plan Act. When you look at Milwaukee receiving over $380 million of COVID relief funds, money that we use to pay for essential services like our garbage pickups, keeping the lights on, and just making sure that we didn't fall into a deficit faster. When last year, when we had the shared revenue conversations and the 2% sales tax increase, we were down to our last $96 million in ARPA funds because we used those funds to plug in essential services and to stop some of that bleeding. And if it wouldn't have been for those funds, we talk about property values. Our property values would have essentially went down to zero or pretty much close to if this city would have faced bankruptcy. And because of the Biden administration, we were able to halt that off. We can't blame, you know, we can't say that the state stepped up to the plate and did what they needed to do, because that just wasn't true. We didn't spend any money during the COVID crisis. As a matter of fact, we lost $25 million from the federal government because of our 1 week work requirement for unemployment compensation. We didn't meet during COVID in enough time in order to rescind that requirement, and the state lost out on $25 million. In a time where most cities and states are coming out of deficits and just not doing well, we have a significant surplus. And the question is why? Some of that does have to do with us receiving more tax income than we anticipated, but a lot of that has to do with us not using the state's money to pay for COVID response or COVID relief. We have $1.8 billion sitting in our rainy day fund that collects $7.2 million in interest every 30 days. And yet a nationwide pandemic was not enough of an emergency for us to use any of those funds.
Senator Johnson, so you want to say what to this listening audience?
I want to say that it is a clear-cut choice when it comes to President Biden or former President Trump, especially when it comes to communities of color. We know what it's like to face some outstanding obstacles and issues, and those obstacles and issues are only going to get worse, depending on who the next president of the United States is, if we don't make the right choice. And the stakes are far too high for us to get it right.
Senator Johnson, I will be in touch with you early next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
You as well. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police say they want people to keep looking for Elijah Vu. They say volunteers are one of the key pieces to their investigation. Elijah hasn't been seen since February after spending a few days with his mother's boyfriend. Investigators say the case is at a standstill. 988 has been the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number for 2 years, but people in Wisconsin who call only get help 77% of the time. Advocates say helpline operators could be better trained.
988 is a good overall resource for individuals. However, we find that people are frequently put in a position where they have to navigate those calls differently because if they come up with a trigger word, it could end up triggering a wellness check.
Abigail Spangers runs a local helpline in La Crosse. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Mississippi River is slowly beginning to come down after weeks of flooding here in the Coulee region. In La Crosse, the crest reached 14.9 feet in moderate flood stage. Flooding concerns along the Mississippi River are now downstream in places like Prairie du Chien and eastern Iowa. Here in La Crosse County, flooding has affected boat ramps, beaches, and recreational activity on the water. Parts of Riverside Park are still closed due to flooding as well. The Mississippi River is expected to drop below flood stage sometime in the middle of the month. A line of showers and storms passing through Wisconsin last night put a damper on 4th of July celebrations. Several fireworks shows were postponed due to the rain. That includes the Riverfest Fireworks Extravaganza, which will now take place tonight. The rain postponed shows from Chippewa Falls to Platteville across western Wisconsin, although a few shows did manage to start once rain had moved through south of La Crosse County. In addition to fireworks tonight, Riverfest has other activities going on throughout the weekend.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. We will start to clear a little bit by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 73. Tonight 57. Tomorrow partly cloudy with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible. And a high tomorrow near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll discuss the latest Republican power grab and the reasons to vote in August against two constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Well thought out, my friend. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music again.
Well, it all has to do with aging. Forever young is what we'd all like to be. And I know that there's definitely people in the out there in the news who are wishing for that. I saw a Rod Stewart concert here. It was one of my more memorable ones. Rod split his pants during the concert. It was probably memorable for him, too.
You know, Sandy, there was something else you wanted to discuss.
Oh, well, you know, in terms of this discussion this morning and saying that we need to make a hard, business-like, dispassionate decision that needs to be made about who is the right candidate to run, given all the facts, given the circumstances, given the perceived fact of the debate and the perceived fact as seen by so many people and the fact that they all have now a reaction to it, and the need to sway the 20% of the voters who reside in the middle and make sure that the base gets out to vote. Those are the people who are going to vote for you regardless. But the most important swing vote now is that 20% and who's going to affect them. And so, you know, I want this decision to be made dispassionately and rather quickly because there's not much time. And I haven't figured out what the right decision is because I don't know the outcome of the polls. I don't see all the polls that are run privately as well as publicly. I don't know what the fundraising people are saying, which would have a big impact on the capacity of someone to run. And I don't know who the other potential candidates might be and their willingness to step forward. But what I do want and hope for is that there will be a dispassionate decision and that Biden himself and those who advise him will be dispassionate because they will be ultimately the ones who have to make the decision that he not run because in order to liberate the delegates, he would have to do that. Okay. So he's got to participate this. He is the one who has stated the importance of this election that we all understand to be very, very important. And so now I hope that he stands by his statement about how important it is by demonstrating his willingness to make a dispassionate decision.
So what are your thoughts on what many have said on these airwaves? We need to be focusing on Donald Trump and Republicans and not on President Biden.
Well, this decision is going to be made hopefully in very quickly and we'll realize whether or not Biden is going to run. And once that decision is made, yes, I think we have to absolutely work very hard to make sure that the objective is realized. And that objective I'm talking about is that there not be Republican majorities in the House and Senate along with the Donald Trump presidency and as well the loss of other state houses in this time of statewide cultural wars. So, you know, I think there's going to be plenty of time to focus on the opposition here. I just think that there's a window of time now where this decision needs to get made about who the right candidate is. And, you know, I don't think anyone needs to attack a Biden presidency other than to say, look, everyone understands that we're at a pivotal point in terms of trying to reach a decision and trying to understand what the facts are. You know, I say that I don't understand the facts. I think everyone out there is trying to figure out what the facts are with respect to the actual result of the debate and the perceptions realized in the debate and the situation associated with Biden and his condition.
So, Sandy, the time and what must be done is kind of where we are. You and I had a conversation earlier that I think is worthy of having over these airways right now. This point in time where we are in this nation, in the globe, in America, in the world, have you seen a time in your life where all of the things that are happening around us and our nation itself, which is really kind of in peril, the nation, the United States government, and all that it stood for, is it safe to say we're in jeopardy? of losing what this nation has been?
That's what it feels like to me. Yesterday, at a 4th of July celebration, I saw Dominic, another radio personality, another host, Dom asked me, he said, you know, in all your years, does this time feel different? Does it feel more dangerous than times in the past? And he recited the civil rights movement, the anti-Vietnam period, all the problems in the 60s and or early 70s. And, you know, I thought about it, and I tried to answer him then, and I thought about it last night, and I realized that, yeah, I think it is different. And the reason it's different is at that time there was ongoing cultural wars, but the cultural wars, there were the civil rights wars, that the cultural war that was ongoing and is still ongoing, and we're still feeling the echo of it, and we're still in the throes of it. And there was the battle over Vietnam and the foreign policy. And we have that, and that's come and gone, too. You know, we've had things, kind of echoes of that with respect to Iraq and Afghanistan, now Ukraine, Israel. But never in my lifetime, since Joe McCarthy was around in the early 50s, has there been a direct assault on the design of our federal government. You know, the McCarthy House Un-American Activities Committee was an extremely, it was like periods in, like the Cromwellian period in England, the post-Cromwellian period where there were, tribunals bringing citizens to task. And that was much what happened during McCarthy. But now we've got a group of people, ideologues, who are interested in changing the architecture of our government and changing it in a manner that would essentially defang our government's capacity to do things administratively, as well as shifting power towards the executive branch, paralyzing the Congress and the congressional branch, and investing a great deal of power in the Supreme Court. And it feels to me like a redesign of our democracy designed at overcoming the demographic shifts in the country that are inevitable, the racial change in our country, the demographic, socio-economic changes in our country. And there are those who have been in control who are interested in redesigning our democracy to make sure that they can continue to be in control despite the demographics. And that feels very different. That feels like a dangerous shift in the design of our democracy that could put us at peril.
Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
You know, I agree with Sandy. It's a problem nowadays. I've never seen our country, and I'm 72 years old, with such hate towards each other. I blame part of the blame with Biden is I blame the media for keeping a lid on this thing. They knew for years that he's had cognitive problems with memory and stuff like that, and they just never said anything.
Hey Gary, I'll give you a chance to go back down that road, but I want to ask you about what Sandy just talked about. You said you've never seen as much hate that exists inside of our nation. You know, who's at the root of that? What's at the root of that? Not Joe Biden.
I think that people in this country, like Sandy was saying, they're trying to change things. And I agree with Sandy when he said that the Supreme Court, we all have a fear of the Supreme Court being basically the law. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We have three branches of government. They're one of the three. They're the ones that are supposed to interpret, not write law. And so I don't know if Sandy was going that direction, but I agree with him. It's bad. Going back to the hate part, I was at a mega family reunion a week ago, and I asked, and there were a lot of Trump lovers there. I asked them, I said, do you absolutely despise Biden and hate his guts? And they said, well, no, we just don't like him. So then I asked some of my Democratic relatives that were there, and I said, do you really hate Trump? And they said, absolutely, 100%. So not one person that was a Trump lover said that they hated Biden. It was 100% of the Biden lovers that hated Trump. That's a problem. So Republicans don't hate as much as the Democrats do.
And Gary, you don't understand that when you make blanket statements like that, that favor the Republicans, as if the Republicans are somehow saints and the Democrats are somehow these evil people. You don't understand that's the part of what Sandy and I are talking about, right? I mean, if we listen solely to what you just said, the Republicans are, you know, God-rendering people, and the Democrats are these, you know, demons. That's what we're talking about, man. And who created that environment, Gary? Not the Democrats.
I'm giving you a survey that I took, so that is fact.
A bias. Your survey is biased. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm telling you, this was fact. Whenever I call up, I always give you my opinion because I'm not there and not with Donald Trump and with Joe Biden. I'm just telling you that it's bad, and you cannot have somebody on your side that you want elected because you hate the other guy that bad. Biden should not be running. We all agree on that.
And Donald Trump should.
I'm saying we have two flawed candidates, terribly flawed. Both of them are. But the fact is, I only have one choice, or I have two choices, and it's Biden or Trump, and I'm going to pick Trump over Biden. Now, I think they should have a constitutional change not to allow anybody over 65 to run for president.
That's ridiculous.
If you are over 65, people retire at 65. They're not supposed to be the most powerful leader in the world, and we're an embarrassment.
Gary, thank you very much. Sandy, you want to respond to the last thing? Nobody over 65 should run for president.
Well, I don't know what we do about the ability of incumbency to maintain power for so very long, because it is true that we have Washington itself is filled with octogenarians in positions of power. Nancy Pelosi, you know, yeah. So there's an issue there.
I think
the electorate, I don't think we can put it into law or into the Constitution, but I think the electorate ought to wake up and probably be more aggressive about demanding youthful vigor.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines. It's Friday. That means Friday is with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show. candlelight. No more of your darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white. I'm growing tired, and time stands still before. Ladder of my life. Too late.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go right to the phone lines and Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
I see that you have some GOP plants in there that are wolves in sheep clothing and are planting that seed of doubt constantly every day. Gary acts like he's so, I'm into my family, you know, I'm not well versed. But I bet he gets a printout every morning, as well as there's a woman in Madison that does not support the Democrats. And I'm a card carrier, and I did not join until the GOP started locking up children and separating families at the border. So if you look at Project 2025, my grandson is 18. He just graduated high school, and he is aware of Project 2025. And I think that's what we have to talk about every day, what they're going to do to our democracy. Thank you for listening
Hey, Lynn, very well said. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Sandy, we're going to talk more about Project 2025 as we move along. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Charles. You say what, sir?
Good morning, guys. So I believe that the hate really got ramped up in this country after we elected the first black president. I believe that's when the hate just really, people, after that and Donald Trump being out there, people just, where things were always said in the dark, now people just come out front and say how they feel. And as far as what Gary said, as far as him taking this poll at this mega gathering, Republicans are the party that's out here saying we got to deport all of the people that weren't born here. And treating people that are gay and trans differently. So I'm not sure what Gary is referring to. So those are my points for this morning's discussion.
Thank you very much, Charles, and thank you for listening as always. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm very much looking forward to your further conversation on Project 2025, because what that is, it's a blueprint of exactly what the plan is and how they're going to deconstruct America. But I have to go back to what Gary was saying about who hates or loves more than the other. It's pretty difficult for me to like or respect a rapist or an insurrectionist. I don't know how I can have any fond feelings whatsoever for any man who tried to take down our nation. So I think that's the difference. But I wanted to get back to something very important. It's going to help you with Project 2025 in the next hour, because the people who put that thing together, they were just recently quoted saying, and this is, I think his name is Kevin Roberts from the Heritage Foundation. We are in the process of a revolution, taking a takeover, he says, and it will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
Yes.
That's a threat, an overt threat. And he said this out, he broadcast out to the major media sources. So until we get our big boy pants and big girl dresses on and have the real conversations, what is exactly at stake and the relationship of Viktor Orban and the Heritage Foundation and the whole mix of this, you know, it's always going to be a spinning story. We have to talk about the details. So I'm looking forward to your Project 2025 conversation, because that's where most of those details are going to lie.
Well, you know, Mike, you know, I don't, you know, to have Sandy Williams, you know, here, and Sandy, I think, will be able to have that discussion as well as anyone. And Sandy, is it safe to say that we just got through talking about the transformation of our government that's starting to take place before our eyes?
Well, it actually has already taken place to some extent. I mean, the fact is that this revolution has been ongoing for a while at the state house level, with the map drawing, the gerrymandering, the very self-conscious approach towards loading the courts, the federal courts and state courts, with ideologically strong-minded people. So the problem is that in the past, politics has never had this sort of organization going for it, you know, this sort of strategic think tank. But I mean, the Bradley Foundation, the Heritage Foundation were early participants in setting up processes for funding conservative think tanks. And the job of the conservative think tank was to develop the strategies that would shift the power structure in the direction of essentially conservatives. And what were conservatives? Well, it was people of means, people in control of businesses, people who own land. It was essentially the kind of fight that was occurring back at the time of the founders, when they were trying to figure out how to balance the interest of the people and the landowners.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines, guys. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from, that will improve my point of view, so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.